This morning, it's good to have Andrew and Courtney and little Robert with us. So remember, we pray for them. I believe they're headed back toward Tennessee sometime this afternoon. So pray for their safe travels. But before they go to Tennessee, amen, they're going to come sing for us. And so I'm going to remember them. I know this morning that some of you are amazed. Because y'all said and y'all listened to Andrew and Courtney sing, and you said, how in the world can they be kin to the preacher? We've heard him sing. It don't sound nothing like that. Amen. But it's good to have them here this morning. Have your Bibles. We're going to look in the book of James, chapter number 4. And I want to preach to you this morning on the thought about just fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse number 8, and we'll just read one verse. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify you hearts, you double-minded. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for this time, this opportunity, and this day. As we come to preach the Word, I ask You to help us to minister to our hearts, to make us an able minister of the Word of God, to speak to hearts this morning, to encourage, I pray, Your people, and Father, to bring us to a place that we need to be today. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Man should fellowship with God. I mean, we should have a fellowship with God. I'm thankful that God has made it possible that we could fellowship with Him. I mean, if God hadn't made that possible, I mean, we couldn't get there. We could not reach and have that place of fellowship. But it is what God desires. God desires to have fellowship with mankind, and He's made it possible through His Son. However, we see that mankind has, on every turn, has withdrawn himself. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Amen. Even in the very beginning, in the garden, when sin had entered in and God came walking in the garden, what did man do? What did Adam and Eve do? They went and they hid themselves, amen, from the presence of God. But this morning, the question is really, I look at it for the church, and do we have a desire to have fellowship with God? Can we have that fellowship that's spoken of here in verse number 8? What does it say? Draw nigh unto God. And so here just in this verse, a few simple things this morning. And the first thing is the precept for fellowship. It's found right there in the very beginning words, to draw nigh, to draw near unto God. Now, we cannot literally come any nearer to God than we are. Amen. God is ever present, and we cannot just physically say, well, I'm closer, but amen, spiritually, we can draw closer to God in a spiritual sense. Every Christian who has walked in this Christian way for any amount of time, I believe, can probably understand that there are times and days when, amen, that fellowship is not the same as it was the week before, the days before, the months before, the years before. Amen. And that causes distress in the Christian's life. It causes things to happen when our sins separate us from the fellowship of God. For David, it did. It caused quite a disturbance and a time of distress in his own life when his sin had broke off that fellowship that he could enjoy with God. But our text tells us to draw nigh to God. And what this indicates is there's a move. If we need to draw nigh to God, amen, here's what the question And we've heard it, and I believe they even wrote a song about it, Who Moved? God's not gone anywhere. God's not withdrawn Himself from us, but the Bible speaks about the separation. Our sins separate us from that fellowship that we have with God. And so to keep up that fellowship, you know what has to happen? For us, there has to be some deliberate action. Some deliberate action has to take place. I've heard it said, and I've said it myself about certain people, and you have too. Well, we just lost contact. We lost contact. And it happens, don't it? Boy, in this life, some folks that we maybe were pretty close to, that we have fellowship, things happen in life and over the years, and today we might not even know for sure where they are. We lose contact. And if we're going to keep up that contact, because see, there's some other folks in our lives that things have happened. They've moved, we've moved. Jobs has changed, lots of things has changed. Amen, but we've not lost that contact. We know where they are. We still communicate. We have what fellowship that we can, even though that they have moved. And those folks that no matter where they go, amen, we're going to do everything within our power not to lose that fellowship, that contact. And so, amen, there's a deliberate action. For that to take place, amen, there's some things that we're going to have to deliberately do. I know I'm bad about it. I have a lot of good intentions sometimes about certain things that don't never happen. Because maybe the time is not good at the moment. And so I put it off. And the next thing I know, my forgetter kicks in, and because it works a lot better than my rememberer does, and I forget. And things get pushed to the side. They get pushed to the back. And this happens with spiritual things as well. We have to be deliberate with spiritual things. And our relationship that we have with God and that fellowship is something that we need to be deliberate about, because you and I need the fellowship that we can only have with God. We need that time. We know that many people only want fellowship with God when there's trouble. We've made reference to it when back at the 9/11 disaster, they talked about the rampant increase in church service, the people, how they came, but it was short-lived. It was short-lived. Many people have come and talked to the preachers, and they're going through a crisis, and they want prayer. They want to hear from God. But as soon as the dilemma is over, there is no desire for fellowship with God. This is something that we see. But if we wish for the favor of God, then we must come to Him. We must draw nigh unto God. If we wish to have that fellowship, we cannot hope for His mercy unless we approach the throne room of grace, to that place that we can find that mercy and grace to help us in time of need. That place that we can have fellowship with God. We can never hope for His favor while we're content to keep our distance. To keep our distance. The Bible said of Peter, that Peter followed Jesus there as they was leading him to the trial, that Peter followed from afar. He was keeping his distance. And we know that Peter denied Him, but amen, but he followed from a distance, and that's how sometimes folks want to live their Christian life. We want to follow from a distance. Our heart should burn with a desire to have fellowship with God day by day. That we can draw nigh unto Him. And the idea here is if we want fellowship with God, we must indicate it by our location. Amen. If we want fellowship with God, then we must indicate that by our location. Well, the fellowship that folks have around with family and friends, if somebody's always absent, amen, the fellowship is not right. It's not good. Amen, it puts a strain on things. And for us to have that fellowship, then it requires our attention and our presence. It requires us to draw nigh unto God. So we're all close. To have a desire to come close unto God. But the second thing here in this verse, it tells us to draw near to God. But it says if we'll draw nigh unto Him, it says that He will draw nigh unto you, unto us. And so the precept of the fellowship is that we draw nigh to God. But if we draw close to Him, amen, He has the promise of fellowship has been given to us that He will draw nigh to you. If God is just waiting for us to show that we have a desire, that fellowship with Him, we have a desire to have that fellowship because, and He's ready to oblige. He's ready to oblige. No one can expect God to draw near to them while they are distancing themselves from God. Now then, I'm thankful that God, even when we're on the run, still convicts us. He still knows where we are. He still will prick our hearts. But amen, to have sweet fellowship with God cannot be expected, amen, if we're on the run. Jonah didn't get away from God, but he wasn't having sweet fellowship with God while he was in the belly of that whale. God knew where he was. Amen. And the whole time, even in this Christian life, Jonah went and he did finally go and preach to Nineveh. And of course, he went up on a hill and he sat up there on that hill and just in our terms, he sat up there and he pouted. Because, amen, they repented and he knew and God spared them. You know, that whole book there as you read about Jonah, do you really see any part of it that speaks of a sweet fellowship between God and the prophet? You don't. Listen, God help us. Not only can we have fellowship, but that fellowship should be sweet. There should be, amen, a time when we draw close to God and God can come and He draws close to us and fellowship can thrive in that moment where there's nothing between. We've all been to a place and a time and somebody mentions, you know, they'll reach over and whisper because things just in the room, it don't feel just right. You know, and somebody may whisper and say, they don't nobody want to talk about the elephant in the room because something's happened. There's something that, though there is fellowship, there's something that's not completely free. God help us. With God, there are things that get in the way that hinder our fellowship with Him. That hinder our fellowship with Him. We mentioned fellowship in a home or a family does not thrive when one party is always absent. And listen, and sometimes this may mean that we are absent while we are there in body. You know, and I'll confess, that's been the case sometimes at church. we go to church. Why do we go to church? Well, it's Sunday and we got to go to church. I mean, that's just what we do. And it's our usual thing, our habit. And listen, it's a good habit to have. Amen. We need to be in God's house. If the doors is open and we can go to God's house, we need to go to church. But amen, sometimes even when we get to church, we have a hard time fellowshipping with God because, amen, we're thinking about what's waiting us on Monday morning. We're thinking about the cares and the problems of this life, the things that's happened at home, the troubles, amen, the finances, the job, the uncertainty of another day. And amen, and what happens is all that stuff hinders our fellowship with God, even in the church house. And we've probably all been guilty from time to time. God help us that, amen, not only to be present in body, but amen, present in spirit. Amen, that our hearts are there. Let me say this and I'll move on to my final point here about this verse. But in Matthew chapter 27 and 46, it tells us, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I thought about that, and what a cry from the only begotten Son of God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus had always enjoyed the sweetest of fellowship with the Father. But in that hour, in that time, he cried and he said, "Why, my God, have you forsaken me? I'm the reason. You're the reason that God in that hour forsook Jesus so that me and you would never have to live a day where God would have to forsake us. We can have fellowship day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. We never have to come to the place where we wonder, well, is God going to forsake us? The answer is no, because He forsook Jesus on the cross. Jesus paid my debt, and part of that debt was the painful separation of the fellowship that was with the Father. And because of that, amen, I don't have to suffer that pain. But sometimes I still do. Because boy, I allow the things of this world and this old flesh and this old self to get in the way. And boy, it hinders. Oh, there's still that relationship. But the fellowship is not what it should be. It's not what it ought to be. God help us to find that place that we need to be, that fellowship. He says here in the last part, my last point here on this verse, he says, the preparation for fellowship. The preparation for fellowship. He says, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. I want you to just think about this morning. Because as I look out on this Sunday morning, it looks like to me that everybody got up. And as they got up, they made some preparations to come to church. I don't see anybody that it looked like that you rolled out of bed and got in the car and you just showed up. Now, you could go to some places that you, I mean, it would look like that this morning. I promise you. But it looked like that there was some preparation made to come to God's house. And God help us when it's time to meet God, when we have fellowship with God, to have fellowship with God, then there's some preparations that need to be made. There's some preparation that need to be made. We make those preparations to go places in this world, even to come to the house of God, to the physical. But amen, what about the inward? What about the inward preparation that takes place? Listen, and I can only speak for me, but
If something it seemed like is going to happen, amen, Sunday morning's a good time, amen, for it to happen. Amen. Something blows up, tears up, amen, goes wrong, get a phone call, amen, but Sunday morning. And so we leave the house and boy, we're already flustered and aggravated and don't know, and the old devil knows that ain't no shape to go to church. That's not how you need to come to the house of God. But amen, we need to make some preparations to cleanse our hands and our hearts, because a failure to prepare for the fellowship with God will hinder that fellowship. There's two things that's mentioned here. He mentions our hands and our hearts. Now these may possibly be an allusion to Isaiah chapter number 1. In verse 15 and 16, it said, "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." Clean. Even the heathens and the Jews were accustomed to wash in their hands before they engaged in any kind of public worship. The particular idea was, in order to obtain favor with God, that it was necessary to put away our sins to approach unto God. But now the mere washing of our hands in itself, it cannot recommend us to God, it cannot give us favor with God. Even Pilate, what did he do when the crowd was going to crucify Jesus? And Pilate, he wanted to try to get that blood off of him so it, somebody else be responsible for it. Amen. And it said that Pilate washed his hands. He had a bowl of water brought before him and he washed his hands in the presence of all and said that I'm innocent of this man's blood, and he tried to wash that blood from his hands. Amen. One preacher preached a sermon that said, Pilate in hell, he's still washing. He's still trying to get that blood off of his hands. But see, it's not the outward that gets us to God. We cannot recommend ourselves to God. But I tell you what we can do. When we come with a heart, when we humble ourselves before God, and we come to Him, it is the very nature of religion. Amen. When God sees a heart that has a desire to turn, amen, from our evil ways, from the sin, from the thing that separates, and we ask God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, you know what God will do? He'll do that very thing that we ask. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. It is sweet to have fellowship with God. And for the child of God, it's very unpleasant to be in a place where we know that the fellowship is broke. It's not what it ought to be. It's not what it should be. It's not a good place. It's not a comfortable place. When we know that something is hindering that fellowship. The Word of God tells us to cleanse our hands and our heart. To cleanse, to make ready ourselves to come before God. Because if we will draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh unto us. I pray that we can cleanse our hands and our hearts this morning, and we can restore any broken fellowship that there may be between us and God. Because we need the nearness. We need that fellowship that God offers, that we can receive. What a blessing this morning that the God that spoke this world into existence has made it possible for me and for you to have fellowship with Him. And He says, if you'll draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh unto you. If you'll stand with us this morning as we sing, if you have a need, I pray you come while we sing this morning.